Kiddush HaKodesh, where the witnesses see the moon, and they come and they testify in front of the Bezin, has all the details, and then the last two prakim, everybody knows, the third and the fourth Perek, have all the dinim of Shofar and dinim of Davening, Musaf, Malach Zechen, and Shofar, so all the dinim of all the halachas of Rosh Hashanah that are relevant to us. That's the third and the fourth Perek, except for the first Mishnah in the third Perek. Very strange. Everybody wonders about that. If you look in the third Perek, it starts on Daf Chof Hei on the base. So Chof Hei on the base is vital all about Kiddush HaChodesh, nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. And the dinim of Rosh Hashanah start on Chof Vav and Aleph, that's the second Mishnah in the third Perek. Kol HaShofar is Ksherim, what Shofar is good. And then from Chof Vav and Aleph to the end, we understand why does the Perek begin with the leftover dinim of Kiddush HaChodesh. They should have had this Mishnah at the end of the previous Perek and started this Perek with Kol HaShofar Kshir. So I think perhaps the reason why, it always bothered me, I don't know, tonight I was thinking about it as I was preparing for this year. So I saw perhaps it's as follows. The Pasuk in Tehillim, that's the Shir Shal Yom for Rosh Hashanah, has the Pasuk Tikra V'Chayda Shofar. It's what we always say, the Shir Shal Yom, for every Thursday. I need a Lekim Hazeinu, I need a Kayankiv. So that has the Pasuk, Tikva Chayda Shofar Bakesa V'Yom Chagenu, Yichok L'Yisrael Hu Mishpat Ola Kayankiv. So the Gemara says that Pasuk is the basis of this Mishnah. Tikva Chayda Shofar, it's interesting also. Ramban writes in the Drosh of the Rosh Hashanah that we don't really have any Mokar in Tanakh to the idea that appears in the Mishnayis that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. The Mishnah says in the first Perek, Ba'abua Prokem Ho'elam Nidon, the Rabbi Shalom judges the world four different seasons of the year, so the main judgment for all the people is on Rosh Hashanah. Our Medina is Ba'ya Yomer, on the individuals and on the communities and on the countries. So the Ramban writes, where is there a Mokar in Tanakh for that? So he says, we don't really have a Mokar, it's just a tradition, Ish Mipi'i Ishara Adam Arishan. That Adam Arishan was created on Rosh Hashanah, and he was commanded not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he sinned, and he was judged, and he was punished on the same day. And the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer says all of this, and then the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer says that on that day, when the Rabbanu Shalom judged him, he said, I'm going to judge all of your descendants also on the same day. So his Nikva on that first Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. That's how the Ramban says. So the Medrash says, the Medrash Shechetev, on this Perek and Tilin, Kapitel Peyal, Tikva V'Chayi Shefer, B'chok Yisrael Hu, Mishpat L'Lekei Yankiv, that the Rabbanu Shalom judges the whole world, provided Chok Yisrael, provided that the Bezen Shalmato is Mekadesh Es HaChodesh. If we declare that it's Rosh Chodesh, then the Rabbanu Shalom says, okay, the Bezen Shalmato will make the judgment today. If the Bezen Shalmato gets ready for the judgment, then the Bezen Shalmato decides that we're going to make Rosh Hashanah tomorrow. So today's Erev Rosh Hashanah, so the Rabbanu Shalom tells the Malachim, Take away the bima and take away everything. No Yom HaDin. Cancel everything. No Yom HaDin till tomorrow. But that's how the Medrash understood. Kichok Yisrael hu mishpat l'lekei yankiv. If the Bezen Shalmato decides today is Rosh Chodesh, then the Bezen Shalmato will give the mishpat. So according to that Medrash, the Pasik Tikva V'Chodesh Shofar speaks about the fact that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. So it's the only Mokar in Tanakh. The only Mokar in Tanakh. So the Gemara has another comment on that Pasik. That's the basis of this Mishnah. That Pasuk, Tikva V'Chayda Shofar, is the basis of this deal in the Mishnah. That the Mishnah says, if the Bezin was Mekabel Yedim on a certain day, all year long, any Rosh Chodesh, the Yedim come and they say they saw the new Levana, and the Bezin wants to declare the day is Rosh Chodesh. And the Bezin discusses whether the Yedim are telling the truth, not telling the truth. They interrogate, they ask a lot of questions. And then they discuss whether maybe they have outside considerations, maybe it doesn't pay to make today Rosh Chodesh, maybe they should make tomorrow Rosh Chodesh. If they pill for long enough till it gets nighttime, it's Rafaun, the Harezem Uber. So the Gemara Fek Takasha, why is Harezem Uber? There is a din and dinam ominous, the Dana Bayom, the Gomer Balayla, as long as the Bezin was Nikva Bayom, as long as the Tchilas Yeshivas Bezin began in the daytime, then the Bezin can continue to have the Yeshivas Bezin into the middle of the night. So here also, since the Kviyas, Tchilas Kviyas HaBezin was Bayom, it started with the Kabbalah Seders and the Masah Matan, the whole conversation, the whole discussion that they had, and then it takes longer, so why can't they complete the Psak at night and declare that yesterday was Rosh Chodesh? That's what the Gemara asks that. That's the Kasha of the Gemara. Why can't the Bezin declare that yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, even though it's already after Tzeis HaKam's Laila? Why not compare it to Dini Mominus, Nadonim Bayom, Begomim Balaila? So the Gemara says no, because the pasuk says Tikkav v'chayda shoyfe kechok liYisrael hu mishpat l'lekei yankiv. So the Medrash has one level of interpretation. Mishpat refers to the judgment of the whole world on Rosh Hashanah. When is it the Yom HaMishpat? If it's chok liYisrael hu. If the Bezer Shalmata declares the day as Rosh Chodesh, if we don't declare, then it's not going to be the Yom HaDin. And the Bavli has an additional level of interpretation on the same pasuk, Gichok liYisrael hu mishpat l'lekei yankiv, that when the Bezin declares Mekudesh HaChodesh, that has the status of Tchilas Din. It doesn't have the status of Gemar Din, it has the status of Tchilas Din. So the Psak, Mekudesh HaChodesh, Mekudesh has to be done by Yom. Unlike all other cases of Dini Mamanis, that Allah has done by Yom, Gomer Balayla, if the Tchilas Yeshiva's Bezin was by Yom, you can continue the whole Din, Ein Donim Balayla. It's not a Din, Ein Donim Balayla, it's a Din, you can't make a Kriyas Bezin Balayla, but once the Kriyas Bezin began by Yom, the Kviyas remains, they retain the status of Bezin, they can continue the Mishpat, the Seder Hadiyun into the night time, and they can finish the Gemar Din also by Laila. But by Kiddush HaChodesh, that doesn't help. Even though the Tchilas Din was by Yom, they have to make the Gemar Din by Yom also. It doesn't help that they made the Tchilas Yeshiva's Bezin by Yom. So that's where the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the same Pasuk in Tehillim. Ki Chok liYisrael hu, Mishpat, when is it Chok? At the time of the Gemar Din. And the Torah and the Pasuk calls it V'kori Rachmona Mishpat, Mishpat Bayom, Ab Chok Bayom. Even the Gemar Din has to be Bayom. So I thought that maybe since that the tradition had it that that is the basis of this din in the Mishnah, Ra'u Bayom. This first Mishnah in the third parak really has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. Has to do with Rosh Hashanah the same way it has to do with every Rosh Chodesh. The same Shaykh is with every Rosh Chodesh equal. But perhaps so this Mishnah Li'olam, everybody learns the Masechta is bothered with this problem. Why doesn't the third parak start from Chavavim and Aleph? Why shouldn't it start from Mishnah Beis? Mishnah Aleph Epis belongs to the earlier Prok. So I thought maybe that's the reason why, because the basis of this whole Mishnah is that Pasuk in Tehillim that reads Tikkav v'chayda shofar, that speaks about Kiyas Shofar. So the Sefer Dikra tells you this then. It's grand and interesting din. Why is it taka? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Why is it taka such a din that usually donim by yom the gomim balayla, the din that the kviyas yeshivas bezin has to begin by yom, but once the tchilas yeshivas bezin was by yom, you can continue the seder hamishpat even into the night and make the gemar din balayla as long as you begin before shkia, you can continue the rov, the bulk of the din torah can be balayla, except for kiddush hachodesh and ibra hashana, probably also the same. That you require donim bayom and gomim bayom. It doesn't help that the tchilas yeshivas bezin was bayom. Why should that be so? So the Yosameach in his Chibra and the Ramam has a very meiridik taich in the Gemara. He says that kiddush hachodesh and ibra hashana is an exception to the rule that runs as follows. Usually the rule is that if the rabbanim give a psak that's based on a mistake, the psak is nishkin psak. It's a rov shailim basim b'cholav shailim hilchos nida shailim hilchos shabbos, and the rov didn't look it up in Shulchan Aruch and said wrong. So wrong is wrong. There's no, I don't know, somebody, one of the rabbanim is giving a lecture in the yeshiva last week, so he says if a meira hara gives a psak and even though he makes a mistake metaphysically, the halacha becomes the way he said. I've never heard of such a thing. Metaphysically it's wrong. The students asked me, did I ever hear of that? So I said, yeah, that's from the other religion. That's from the Catholics. there's such a concept, the infallibility, the principle of infallibility of the Pope.
But Sanhedrin.
No, the Pasuk in Chumash has a din that if the Bez Nagodol Paskin and they realize they made a mistake, so they have to bring a Parhalim Dovah Shel Tzibur. And sometimes when they don't bring a Parhalim Dovah Shel Tzibur, every single Balabas, they made them make a mistake. They were Machshel, the whole Tzibur, in Chil Shabbos. Every single balabas sometimes has to bring a chakras, and sometimes.
Yeah. Oh,
So that's a good kasha. That's a good kasha. Yeah. The Ramban is that kasha. Ramban is the first one to ask that kasha. The Rashi and Chumash quotes a comment from the Sifrei. So how can it be that the psak of the Bez Nagodol is binding, even if you know that they made a mistake? It's against the Chumash. The Chumash said beferish that there's a din of parah and davar shel tzibur. So how can it be? So the Mefarshim worked very hard on that, so they give different answers. So the Ramban says in the Sefer Mitzvos that the correct girsa in the Sifrei and that pasuk is afilu nirem b'yeinecha al min shu smol. The layman thinks that what the rabbi said is off the wall. It's a chalam alazla. The Balabatim always thinks what the rabbanim is saying is ridiculous. And when I go to a doctor and he gives me a psak what I should do, and when you go to a chemist, when you go to a physicist and he tells you, the layman always think that the experts, it's kineged haseichel, does make sense. The answer is that the person is an expert in the field.
Always.
No, that this is it. That's the way the chemistry works. That's the way the physics works. Whoever is not holding by those in Yonim will always think that it's ridiculous. So that's what the Ramban says, that the real Gersa in the Sefer is, even if you think that it's absolutely fakert from the Seichel, you should have a munas chachamim to assume that the Rabbanim are not making a mistake. But if you know that they made a mistake, then of course you're not permitted to listen to a psak. A psak that's an error is not a psak. There is no such thing. In our religion, there is no such thing that metaphysically, the Moira Hara, who is this Moira Hara? Someone greater than the Bez Nagol. Bez Nagol makes a mistake, so that's a mistake. But if a Moira Hara in the 1990s makes a mistake, then somehow this speaker in the yeshiva thought that metaphysically it becomes mutter. The treifa item becomes mutter. There is no such thing. The one and only case where the psak in error is binding, but that's what the Gemara says earlier in the Mishnah, is Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShana. Because we learn that from the Pasuk that it says twice, Ela Me'ad HaShem Shetikro Osom Mikroi Kiddush in Parshas Emor. In the end of Parshas Emor, you have the Parsha of the Mayadays. So it says twice, Ela Me'ad HaShem Shetikro Osom, and the word Osom is spelled both times Chosavo, Aleph Tof Mem. And the Chazal a lot of times Darshan Amole and Choser. There were a lot of drushes. In fact, it was a Rav in Germany, I think, who put out a whole sefer on Mole and Chosr and Tanakh, and he shows many more than we would think of, many more drashas Chazal that seem to be based on a Mole and a Chosr. Why the pasuk here is written Mole, why the pasuk there is written Chosr. So here the same pasuk appears twice, Elamei Arashem Shetikru Oysom. So Rashi on Parshas Amor, Achumish, quotes from the Teres Kahanim, from the Sifra, that one pasuk goes on Kiddush HaChodesh and one pasuk goes on Ibar HaShana. They're both by Kiddush HaChodesh and by Ibar HaShana. The din is Atem Afilu Mutim. Whatever you say, that's the psak. There, metaphysically, that's taka the din. Whatever the Bezna Gadol says, the Bezna who's in charge of Kiddush HaChodesh, even if the witnesses were lying through their teeth, and not only lying that they saw Levon, they say they saw Levon at a time that it's physically impossible based on the rules of physics and based on the rules of astronomy. It's physically and based on the rules of mathematics, it's impossible that they should have seen the moon. It's before the moment even, let's say. But if it's within reason, they can't make a month that's less than 29 days or more than 30 days. They can't make a year that's less than 12 months or more than 13 months. But if it's within the realm of the possibility, then the halacha says that the psak remains, even though it's in Gansen doesn't correspond. Right. He knew the Bezin made a mistake. He knew astronomy better than Rabbi Gamliel. He knew that Rabbi Gamliel made a mistake. And he was all nervous, and Rabbi Gamliel said, I want you to appear before me on your Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Yeshua was very nervous. And then the other Tanoim told him, don't be nervous, even though they're 100% wrong. That's the halacha. That's the mocker. That's the Mishnah. But the Mishnah develops this idea. So the Asamech says, when do you say there's a halacha that if the Tchilas Kviyas Yeshiva's Bezin was by Yom, so since the kviyas was by Yom Segom and Balayla, that's only in all other areas of halacha, where the psak has to follow a shakla v'tarya, to correspond to reality, has to be based on a discussion, what's the halacha and what are the facts and what are the witnesses saying, are the witnesses telling the truth. So that's called the tchilas din, that's the beginning of the din Torah. But by Kiddush HaChodesh, the whole hachana until you get to the end, the chatchila you should do like that. But it's not Ma'akeh B'di'evet. If the Bezin just says, Kiddush HaChodesh, irregardless of the Edom, no Edom. Yes, Edom, no Edom. The Edom say Fakir. The experts come and they say, today can't be Rosh Chodesh because it wasn't yet the Moel. The Bezin says, Kiddush HaChodesh. So if it's within reason, it's going to be 12 or 13 months in the year, and every month is going to have 29, 30 days. So that's the din about them. Afilu Mutim, even if it's absolutely wrong, it doesn't correspond at all to the physics and to the mathematics. It means that the Kiddush HaChodesh is not. Pardon me, if what? If the Bezin wants to.
So they can declare any time.
If they want to, yeah. The din is l'chatchila, it's a mitzvah to be mekadesh al pi hariya. So l'chatchila, it's preferable that they should wait till Edom comes. If the Edom don't come on the 30th day, they should wait till the next day. But if they choose to, they can declare the 30th day as Rosh Chodesh even without any Eidim. Yeah. So that's what the Osamech explains. That's probably the Vort over here. Why is it What is the pasuk in Tehillim Taka telling us? Kechok Yisrael Humushpan Lekeyanka. When is it chok? When you're holding by the psak, when the Bezin says Mekudesh HaChodesh, and that psak has the status of Mishpat, has the status of Chilas Din, doesn't have the status of Gemara Din. Why? I Bezdach HaGemar, it follows the hour conversation, the hour discussion of the Bezin. So he says, because the hour discussion that they had is absolutely a Lomal of a Lomari. Even if they wouldn't have had any Edim, even if it would have been Fakir from all the facts and Fakir from everything, the only thing that's needed is the psak, and the psak can stand alone. The psak is a valid psak even without the whole akdomeh, what it's based on. So he says, maybe that's the reason for this din, it's like a shmak pshat. Maybe that's the reason for this din, that donim bayom, the gomim bayom, because over here the gemar din is really the tchilas din. The whole tchilas din is the last line when they say, because of the everything before that is irrelevant.
If there would be a gemar balaylo, then you would lose the whole blowing of shofar. You wouldn't be able to blow shofar because it would be Rashun would be the day before, and you can't blow shofar. You would lose the blowing shofar and also blowing the korbanos. So you can say
right. Well, this mishnah, yeah, but this mishnah happens not to be not necessarily speaking about Rashun. It's speaking about any Rosh Chodesh. Any Rosh Chodesh. That's why it's a tella. Why did they start the third parak with this din? It has nothing specific to do with Rosh Hashanah. It has to do with the first two prokim about Kiddush HaChodesh in general. So I thought maybe that's the answer, because the Gemara says they had a tradition that this din is based on that pasuk that says Tikkun HaChodesh Shofar. The Mishnah has on Chavav on the base. The Mishnah says that on Rosh Hashanah the mitzvah really is Tkiya Shofar. And in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to have two people blowing chatzotzes on to the right and to the left of the one who's blowing Shofar, and they blew everything simultaneously. They blew the Shofar with the chatzotzes at the same time. But in order to demonstrate, in order to indicate to the Tzibur that the Ikka mitzvah really is the Shofar, so they had the Shofar Marech, the chatzotzes Mekatzvah, the two people who were blowing the chatzotzes stopped, and then the shofar kept on blowing longer, that everybody should know that the Ikka mitzvah yoyim is be shofar. And the Tanya Sibur is fakir, that the Ikka mitzvah really is tzias chatzaitzis. And the Gemara says earlier in Rosh Hashanah that when three people are walking on the road, so the godel hoylech b'emtza, the kovid, the abatam achachem, or one is more choshim than the others, in whatever area, so the godel is hoylech b'emtza, and the other two shamasim walk on the right and on the left. So here also the Ram tells too. On this mission, that on Rosh Hashanah, the Ikka mitzvah is Tkiya Shofar. So one is blowing the shofar, stands in the middle, and the two are blowing chatzotzes around the side. On the time of Sibur is Fakir. The one is blowing the chatzotzes, stands in the middle, and two people standing on either side are blowing the shofar. And the two who are blowing the shofar are Mekatzer, and the one who is blowing the chatzotzes on the time of Sibur blows longer to demonstrate, to indicate, she Ikka mitzvah Sayoim is Bechatzotzes. So the Mishnah describes that that's what they did in the Mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara quotes on Chav Zayinim and Aleph that after the Churban Bayisheini, some of the Tanoim thought that they should introduce the same practice. Rab Hananya ben Tradyan and others considered Rab Chalafta Bitzipor, Rab Yosef ben Chalafta's father, Rab Chalafta. So they considered the possibility around the 10th white line on Daf Chav Zayinim and Aleph. So they considered the possibility of introducing this in other communities also, until the other Tanoim told them no. Lahoy Nogim Kane Elo Bishari Mizuch Bahara Bais Bulvat Shinema Bachatzitz is called Shofar Hari Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. You only blow a Shofar with Chatzitz together. Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, on Rosh Hashanah, you only blow Shofar. We don't blow any Chatzitz. And on a Tainan Sibah, you only blow Chatzitz. You don't blow Shofar. That's not a problem. Why don't we ever blow Chatzitz on a Tainan Sibah? The Mishnah says in Tainus, there's all Maseches Tainus. And here it says it as well. It's mentioned here. That on a Tainus Sibur there's a mitzvah to blow chatzaitzvus. This Mishnah only says the blow chatzaitzvus in the Beis HaMikdash. But all the Mishnahs in Tainus say the blow chatzaitzvus all over. And Chutz Lourdes also the blow chatzaitzvus. That's a big pellet. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in his first sefer, in the first Digrus Moshe, on that. Why don't we blow chatzaitzvus today on a Tainus Sibur? So he quotes what the Rishayim say. It's a big problem. The question is better than the answer. But the practice of the minute today is that we don't blow chatzaitzvus on a Tainus Sibur.
Do we know what a chatzaitzvus is now? Do we know what it would be?
Yeah, it's made from, you make it from silver. It's silver and from their trumpet.
It's a play.
Doesn't have any specific halachas. Shofar has the Mishnayos, a lot of details. Chatzaitzis is just a silver trumpet. In Eretz Yisrael, they have these fancy chatzaitzis. Yes. When they have the Zeichel HaKel, so they always blow these gorgeous chatzaitzis. So the Gemara learns out from the pasuk that you only do this in the Beis Hamikdash. This is called Shofar Hariyah Lefnei Melech Hashem. From the same pasuk, first of all, you learn out that it's only Beis Hamikdash, and secondly, you understand from that pasuk that whenever in the Beis Hamikdash, whenever you have shofar, you should also enhance the tkiyah shofar by having chatzitzer accompany it. Whenever you have chatzitzer, you should enhance the tkiyah chatzitzer by having the shofar accompany it. So there's a Mishnah in Erechin, in the beginning of Erechin around Daf Yud. The Mishnah talks about the dinim of shir, sha'ala korban, that after they used to offer many of the korbanot that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash require nisa hayayim. Not all of them, many of the korbanot. After you bring the korban, you pour wine down the pipes, down the shisa and on the mizbeach. This is by korban yoch and by korban sibur. So the psukim in Parsha Shlach have a din when it's a carbon sibur and you're doing nisa chayay in conjunction with the carbon sibur, like we say in the chasam niskeim kemedubar, in conjunction with the tmidim and myself, and those are all carbon sibur. The kohanim used to pour special yayin amakudish down the pipes on the mizbeach, down the shisim, and the wine got absorbed in the ground. So the Mishnah records that the Levim would sing shira, special din deraisa. So the Levim have to sing Shira. They used to play musical instruments and they used to sing Shira. At the time, Einamim Shira El Alayayim. At the time, the Kohanim are doing the Nisach Hayayim. Following the Korbanos, that's when the Levim are supposed to sing Shira or play Shira. Whatever, Machloik is which, the Ikedin. Is the Ikedin the rice only Shira B'Peh, and the Shira B'Kli is only as a Hidur Mitzvah? Or no, the Ikedin Shira is B'Kli. The Machloik is Satanoim, later in Sukkot. Machloik is Satanoim in the end of Sukkot. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. What's the din if they brought the korbanos and they brought the yayin and the levim didn't sing any shir at all? Is it ma'akeh b'riyah? Do you say that they're not yotzei the mitzvah? And we, most of the rishonim, assume that that's not the din. Rav Meir holds that shir ma'akeh is a korban. That if you did nisach hayayin and the levim didn't sing any shir, then you're not yotzei the nisach hayayin. The pashtus is the Raman passing is against Rav Meir. We pass like the chacham that the shir is not ma'akeh is a korban. L'chatchila, it's a mitzvah b'shleimus to have. So the Mishnah describes what instruments they would play, the Levim or whoever, the Israelim is also a historical machlokes hatanaim, who used to play the musical instruments. The Levim sang the Shira, but who played the instruments is a whole three-way machlokes, whether the Levim or non-Levim. So the Mishnah discusses what musical instruments did they use, and on special occasions they used special musical instruments. Among the musical instruments that they used to use, state that on occasion they used to use chatzetzus in the Beis Hamikdash for the Shira, for accompanying the singing. So the Sfasemis asks Akasha on that Mishnah, the Mishnah in Erechin. So the Sfasemis asks Akasha, how come it doesn't say there anywhere in Erechin that in conjunction with the Hatzaitzis they have to blow Shofar also? Because that's not the Pasuk, the Hatzaitzis is called Shofar, Hariyah Lefnei Melech Hashem, whenever you have one, you have to have the other. You're not permitted to have one without the other in the Beis Hamikdash. Chutz le-Beis Hamikdash, not Lefnei Melech Hashem, Chutz le-Beis Hamikdash, on the time of Sibur, we only have Chatzetzra, and on Rosh Hashanah, we only have Shofar. But in the Beis Hamikdash, isn't that what it says here in the Gemara, based on the Mishnah? Whenever you have one, you have to have the other one to enhance it. That come there by the Shiras Alevim they didn't have. So I thought the Teretz, perhaps, is very poshut. I don't think it gives a Teretz. I thought the Teretz was poshut. If you play music, so you have to ask a musician what clashes and what blends in together. If you're going to blow shofar together with chatzitz, it's going to ruin the whole niggun. So you can't have exeris akostov that whenever you play chatzitz, you have to play shofar. The shofar doesn't blend in. If it fits. But over here, maybe it's a different word. On a tainus sibur, what is the whole inyan? When did they blow the chatzitzis on a tainus sibur? The Mishnah in tainus says in the middle of chazaras hashatz, instead of only saying Ashmein Esri of 18 brachas, the chazam would add on another 6 brachas, I think. No, another 6 brachas, it would be 24. And the Gemara says, but every tefillah has to have a makom in Tanakh. So the Gemara works out a whole cheshma. Where is there a makom that there's a tefillah that has 7 brachas? On Shabbos Yontif, the Shmoneh Esrei has 7 brachas, so they give Makoris. One of the Makoris is interesting, the Medrash HaMiz Mashila Yoyim HaShabbos, I think on Matzoi Shabbos we spoke a little bit about that Medrash, Miz Mashila Yoyim HaShabbos. Last night, I already forgot when I spoke about it. So the Medrash on that Pasuk, Miz Mashila Yoyim HaShabbos, says that the Shem Hashem appears seven times in that Perek, and that's the marker that the Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos should have seven. That's not what the Gemara has that. So the Gemara has a different marker. Gemara has a marker for seven, and the Gemara has a marker for nine on Rosh Hashanah, 18, 19. But I thought it's a different marker. I don't remember that this is the marker. I think the Gemara has a different marker for seven. Anyway. So then the Gemara says that on a tiny sleeper in the Chazaras Hashas, the Chazan adds on another six brachas in the middle, tachnunim for the Ban Shlom, that he should be paid us from the Eist Zara, and it adds up to the sum total of 24 brachas. The Gemara gives a marker for a tefillah with 24 brachas. And the Baal Tekeh would blow at the conclusion of each one of the additional six brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. So what is the idea? What is he blowing Chatzetzis in the middle of Chazaras Hashas? What's the Shaychis? So obviously, it's to enhance the tefillah. Obviously, the chatzetzos are a form of tefillah. Like the Rambam writes in the opening halacha in Hilchas Tainius, there is a mitzvah says, "Men ator lizik ol hari al kol torah shalai tov al atzibah." You have to enhance. It's an added tree of tefillah by a tzara, and to enhance the tefillah, you have to have ribui tefillah, you have to daven ila, and to enhance the tefillah, you also do kiyas chatzetzos in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. So apparently, the Chachamim had a tradition that the same is true regarding Rosh Hashanah. And the Ramban, the Machamis says this. Rav Soloveitchik used to say this over very often. Ramban on his commentary on the Rif, and the Machamis on the Rif, points this out. That the tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah are similar to some of the tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah. He says not all. He says some of the tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah are similar to the tkiyas chatzetzis on a tiny sibu, in that it serves the function of enhancing the tefillah. That's why you blow the shofar at the conclusion of the Malchus Chen shofars. Like the Baal Tekeh blows the Chatzetzis on a tiny zebra at the conclusion of the three additional of the six additional brachas in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says like this: on a tiny zebra, big vulin outside of the Beis Hamikdash, you enhance the tefillah with Chatzetzis. On Rosh Hashanah, as an Eis Tzar Kol Holam Nidarn, you enhance the tefillahs with Tkiyah Shofar. In Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Tefillah Yikar L'Cholam Beis Hamikdash is the Mokam HaTefillah. So he's supposed to enhance the Tefillahs more so. He's supposed to be stronger Tefillahs. So both on Rosh Hashanah and on a tiny Sibur, whenever you blow one, you blow the other one. It doesn't necessarily blend in musically. We're not talking mitzad the music. We're talking mitzad the tefillah, the enhancement of the tefillahs. So that's what we learn out from the pasuk. The chatzos is called shofar hariyu lifnei hamelach Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash. Kamok mishei shofar yesh chatzos, kamok mishei chatzos yesh shofar. But in the Beis Hamikdash, if they're blowing chatzos is because of a niggun, or if they're blowing a shofar because of a niggun, and the other one is going to shout to the niggun and it's going to be mekalkel the niggun. So vushteik, there's no halachas in hilchas in music. Whatever the musicians feel fits in, so they play. If they feel it doesn't fit in, there's no such halacha. This halacha only applies when it's for the purpose of enhancing the tefillah.
It's lizikul horiyah, horiyu lifnei melech Hashem. So it's called shofar horiyu. So the word horiyu tells me when it's halacha is true.
That is for the tefillah purpose. Yeah. The Ramban claims. The Ramban has this chiddush. He says that. Where did it come from that the Gemara said they had a suffix? What they're supposed to blow for shofar? Whether tkiyah shvarim tkiyah, tkiyah truah tkiyah, tkiyah shvarim truah tkiyah. How can it be that they had a suffix? What did they do last year? What did they do the year before? The hapella. So the goyim asked that kasha, the paramor on the bottom of the rift quotes that kasha from the Rav Haigoin. And he quotes Rav Haigoin, gave an answer that the truth of the matter is that they're all good. If you blow tashrat is good, if you blow tashat is good, if you go tarat is good. There never was really a sfeika d'yoma. Anything
it's
you
like
do is good.
Except,
huh?
Sfeika d'tkiyah.
There's not a sfeika d'dina. There's not a sfeik. The law is that everything is acceptable. But in different communities, they have different minhagim. In some communities, they had their tradition, they blew tashrat. And they thought that they're the only ones in the world who are yotze d'tkiyah, because they're the only ones who are doing it right. In the other communities, they blew tarat, and they thought that no one else is yotze, they're the only ones. So Rabbi Bo in the city, Kisrin, he wanted to make ichud aminhagim. Not that he really had a sfeika d'dina, who's yotze, who's not yotze. Whatever brand you do, whatever brand of trua you do is acceptable. But he didn't want that the balabatim should think that we're the only ones who are yotze and the others are not yotze. He wanted to have abad yach for shalom v'reis. He made everybody should blow everybody's minute. But that basically anything is good. That's what the balamor quotes in the name of the Rav Haigoin, the chula Rav Haigoin, to explain where did it come from. How can it be that they made a mistake? They didn't know How do you do Tkiyah Shofar? What do they do for the last century? What do they do for the last 1,000 years? When the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, how can it be? So the Ramban doesn't like that. He says it's against the Gemara. Tosfos also holds the Beferish against. Many Rishonim seem to assume not like the Rav Haigod. Many Rishonim hold like Rav Haigod. Many think that it's not correct. The simple reading of the Gemara is that it's a real Sveik of the demon. So the Ramban is the Kasha, the Ashtaki Kasha. Where did it come from? What's going on? So he says, on a tiny Sibu, the Rav Haigod is right. On a tiny Sibu, when the purpose of the Tkiyas is just to enhance the Tfilah, so then he says, whatever you do is acceptable. Tashrat is good, and Tarat is good, and Tashat is good. The Tkiyas shall say the Habrachis, if you want to be Eitzei, that din, the Araisa, the Rabbanah, whatever it is. The Tkiyas and the Seder of the Shemana Esri and the Chazoras HaShat and Rosh Hashanah, he says that's the same as a Taina Sibur. Everything goes, that's okay. But on Rosh Hashanah, that's one aspect. One aspect of Tkiyas Shofar is that it's for the purpose of enhancing the Tfilah. But he says there is another aspect of Tkiyas Shofar that's independent of enhancing the Tfilah. Take for example, the Gemara says that this halacha that you blow, Al Seder HaBrachis, is only B'tzibur Shanu. When a person davens B'chidah, so the Gemara says that din doesn't apply. Is that it's the Gemara later? B'tzibur Shanu, no. No, somewhere over here. The Gemara says it's only. Forget about it. It's only in Chazaras Hashatz. But if you're not in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, a Yochid, even if he knows how to blow shofar himself, or even if he has a Baal Tekim, he can arrange it. You don't have that. But nonetheless, the Yechidim are all mechuyev to blow shofar. So what is the purpose of the shofar? It's not to enhance the tefillah. So you see, the Ramban assumes, you see, that there's an additional lenient to tkiyah shofar, not only to serve the purpose of enhancing the Chazaras Hashatz as an independent inyan. So on that independent, separate inyan of tkiyah shofar, that's what they had as Sveik Edina. That's what Rabbi Bo had as Sveik Edina. Is that supposed to be Tashrat? Is it supposed to be Tarat? Is it supposed to be Tashat? Where did the mistake come from? Because sometimes all are acceptable. In this Chazaras Hashatz, all would be acceptable. And on a tiny Sibur, whatever you do goes. Everything is acceptable. Because that's a different Pchin of Tkiyah Shofar. But the Tkiyah Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, that's not for the purpose of enhancing the Tfilah. The separate halacha of Tkiyah's Bifnei Atzma, maybe it is music. I don't know. Maybe it's Takadinyan of music. Maybe it's like the Rav Sadia Gnon gives so many, 10 different reasons. They have it printed in the Birnbaum Machzor. They have a lot of Machzor, and they have it printed. All the 10 Kavanas that you're supposed to have, B'Shas Tkiyah Shofar. So one of the Kavanas is to remember Maimon Hasina. It says that the Kol HaShofar Chozek Miyoy. And then to remember to be Mechazik Emun and Dias HaMashiach. Because when Mashiach comes, Remel, you talk of the Shofar Gadol. And then when you Mamlech HaMelech, when you appoint the king, when you anoint the king, so you blow the trumpets. On Rosh Hashanah, we're Mekabel Lo Malchus Shemayim. We're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say Melech HaKadosh, so as we proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king, so we blow the trumpets, we blow the shofar. And another 7 kavanas. There's many, many kavanas in the Tkiyah Shofar. All 10 are separate kavanas. Nothing to do with enhancing the tefillah. That's an 11th kavanah. That's an 11th thing. He gives 10 kavanas that are as an independent thing of Tkiyah Shofar. So the Ramban claims that that's where the mistake came from, because on a tiny Sibu in the Tkiyah shall say the Abrachis in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, anything goes taka. It can be Tashrat, Tashat, or Tarat. Everything is acceptable. It's only the separate mitzvah b'fnei atzma of Rosh Hashanah Tkiyah Shofar. That's where the Amoraim held that it has to be dafka one form, and then they had the suffix, which is the correct form for that purpose. So it's interesting.
If they did the Sibur, they didn't have to do that? Why is it that if they did the Sibur, they didn't have to work it?
They have to do that also. So maybe they did it before, after. And maybe they blew more tkiyas, the way it's supposed to be blown correctly for this independent mitzvah. And the fact that they blew Al Seder HaBrachis differently, that's Lamala V'Lamor. So that they always had, the other three menorahs they always had, for Taina Sibur and for the Chazaras Hashatz and Rosh Hashanah. And the machlokes in the days of Rabbi Bo is what is the correct form of truah for the sake of the mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So the Rav always used to mention this svara. In the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, what are you doing another mitzvah for? What are you blowing shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz? And he says, what are you, in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, you're going to shake a lulav, you're going to lay tefillin, you're going to put on a talis? The Taryag mitzvah, Ramach mitzvah says, go go do another mitzvah middle, middle chazar shashatz, the moil is going to make a bris milah. Mm-hmm. All the mitzvahs is squeezed in the middle of chazar shashatz. What are you sticking everything in? So there must be a reason why they introduced kiyas in the middle of chazar shashatz. So he said, yeah, that's what the Ramban explains, that the kiyas, after the six brachas on Tainas Sibur, and after the three additional brachas on Rosh Hashanah, is a form of zaka, lizer kolaria, to enhance the chshivas of the tefillah, to enhance the brach. So lechayre, it's a question that only makes sense on Rosh Hashanah. On Yom Kippur Shel Yovel also, it's like that. The purpose of the tekiyas on Yom Kippur, the Mishnah says, Shava HaYovel the Rosh Hashanah, the tekiyah v'lebrochas. That's the Mishnah on Chavov HaMebeis. It says, once every 50 years on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it says also, Barat and Shofar Tru B'chol Ha'artzachem. Well, right, it says in the Chumash that you have to blow Shofar. So the Rishonim point out based on the Gemara, Chavav and Beis, all the Rishonim point out that the Tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel are not at all for the purpose of enhancing the Tfilah. Right, so the Rishonim assumed based on the Gemara earlier in the first parak of Rosh Hashanah that that's supposed to be a similar to Shiluach Chavav. Bifnei Bezin. Everybody has a chiyuv to hear the tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, not just Bezin. But the Ritva says that the din is that it's Minatera Bifnei Bezin. He says that tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel have to be Makusha with the Bezin Minatera. That's what he claims. Others learning more that it's only with the Rabbanon, because the tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, Yom Kippur is always like Shabbos. And Kippur, not a lot of carries. There's always a problem of Shemi Yavirenu. So just like by Yos, when Rosh Hashanah Choli is B'Shabbos, they made it there, the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to blow Shofar, Shemi Yavirenu. So the only time we permit you to blow Shofar is B'Migdush HaYotok. And what does it mean B'Migdush? Is not because of Migdush. It's because B'Fnei Bezin. V'Araya, that the Mishnah says at the beginning of the fourth parak, B'Shechara Beis HaMigdush is kind of B'Echem and Zaka, that they blow Shofar B'Yavne. There was no Beis HaMigdush in Yavne, but the Bezin was B'Yavne. Then the Mishnah continues to say, "Come on, come sheyesh on bezin. Wherever the bezin is, you blow shofar." So bezman shabeis hamigdash hayikayim and Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. Why did they blow shofar by migdash hayitoykin? Not because of the beis hamigdash, because the bezin agol was in the beis hamigdash. So that din of tkiya shofar in the presence of the bezin agol, that's only a din the rabbanon. When Rosh Hashanah chali is b'Shabbos, you only blow in the presence of the bezin agol. That's only din the rabbanon. That's not a din the raisa. So the pashtus when you learn that gemara. And the Choftes and the Beis, the Flamen and the Aleph, the Gemara meant to say, and Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it's always Choli is B'Shabbos. Yom Kippur is Dechlag Shabbos. Yeah. So by definition, every Yom Kippur Shel Yovel is Choli is B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry on any Yom Kippur. So that's why the Gemara says, you have to be strict and you only permit me, the Rabbanon, you only allow people to blow Shofar, Bifnei Bezin, in the presence of the Bezin, because we're concerned Shemi Avarena. That's perhaps the Parshat Pshat. So the Ritva says, I'm not Gemara, no. That the din that on Yom Kippur shall yovel you blow only bifnei bezin, that's a din deraisa. He says that's not a din derabbanan because of the concern, because of the hashash and the avirenu. He says no, that's the din deraisa, because the ikar purpose, the Gemara said in the first parak, the ikar purpose of the tkiya shofar Yom Kippur shall yovel is to serve as a shiluach, as a simile shiluach avadin. So that's really the function of the bezin. So everybody should join along with the bezin and blow shofar on Yom Kippur shall yovel. But they say before is based on the Gemara here on Daf Chavav and Beis that the tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel are not really for the purpose of enhancing the tefillah.
So when the Mishnah says every year in Yom Kippur, if this doesn't only Yovel, we go show for the Yom Kippur every year.
We blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. So Tosfos has two different minhagim. So one Tosfos says it's a zecher l'tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. And then they ask him, why do you blow every year? Tyson says that kasha. So some of them say, because we lost the cheshbon, we don't know which year is supposed to be over. So every year we're mesuvik, maybe this year is supposed to be over. That's what some of them say. What is our minig that we blow after Ne'ilah is all over, before you daven Ma'ariv, by Hashem Ruach Elokim, by the Shemus, and then you blow shofar. So what is that all about? There's no din you're supposed to blow shofar in Matzah Yom Kippur as a minig. What is that minig all about? The Tosfos has two explanations. So one Tosfos says there's a Tosfos in Megillah on Daf Dalet, then there's a Tosfos in the end of Shabbos around Daf Kuf Chof Aleph or something. So the one Tosfos in Megillah I think says that it's a zecher l'tkiyas on Yom Kippur shel Yovel. That on the Yom Kippur, Shnas HaYovel, the Pasuk says, and the Mishnah says he's supposed to blow shofar. So we blow on Yom Kippur, we blow after Yom Kippur is over, as a zecher to the fact that when it would be Yom Kippur shel Yovel, you have to blow. So Taisa says, so why do you blow every year? Many Balei HaTaisa held that it doesn't make sense that that should be the reason why. So some of the Rishonim say, we're misupit, which year is really Yovel? Because we've lost track, we haven't been counting. We know every 7th year is Shemitah, but that's about all. But we don't know which year is supposed to be Yovel. So since we're Mesupik,
we do know which is the 7th year.
Yeah, so yes. How can it be? There is one opinion in the Yerushalmi that the Yovel doesn't always come after Shemitah. There's one opinion in the Yerushalmi, every 7th year is Shemitah, and every 50th year is Yovel, come what may. So it's going to keep on floating. The Yovel is going to float. So one year the Yovel will be on the 4th year of the Shemitah. Next time it's going to be on the 5th year of the Shemitah. It floats around. It's not always Matzoi Shemitah. That's not the accepted opinion. Right. We assume that Yom Kippur, that Yovel is always the year that follows the Shemitah year. Yeah. It can't be in the middle of the...
Torah says you'll have to what to eat, even though it'll be 2 years you wouldn't plant. And
right.
In times like this...
Right. So the Tumim... Yeah. The Rebbe Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz writes in the Tumim. The Tumim is a Chibur on Chosha Mishpat. So in the Sefer, we're in the Tumim, he writes such an Einfall that every 7th year is Shemitah and every 50th year is Yovel, and the first Yovel will be Matzoi Shemitah. The next Yovel will be the second year after Shemitah. The third Yovel will be the third year after Shemitah. It keeps on moving. So all the Achronim ask, it's against the Gemara. Yeah. How can he say such a thing? So they discovered it by Yerushalmi like that. It is against the Bavli. But the Yerushalmi says that there's one...
The Torah, but the Torah says in Pusik. In Pusik it says that Shemitah Yovel is going to be after Shemitah because Mount Erechol Bashunah...
The first year.
Yeah.
The first Yovel in the history of the world was 2 years in a row.
When the Torah was given, it wasn't the first year. The Torah didn't tell us to observe the first year of creation.
Okay. But at least there is such a Yerushalmi in the Dorm. There is such an opinion in Yerushalmi in the Dorm. It's clearly against the Bavli, the Gemara in Erechin makes the Cheshbonus. Of how many years the Golas bubble, the 7 years of Golas bubble, what to be mechaper, Oz Tirtza Haritza Shapsisel, or Kol Yimei Hoshama, all the 7 years of Golas bubble, when we're holding Keneged, all the years of Shemitah the Yovel that we violated. So the Gemara makes a whole calculation, how many years of Shemitah the Yovel did they violate? So the Gemara makes the calculation, it's beferish against what the Rabbi Yonis Nebishitz said. So the later Achranim point out, no. But there isn't a day in the Yerushalmi like that, a Yerushalmi in the Dorim, that the Yovel year floats around. So that's one opinion in Tosfos, that the tears that we blow on Matzah Yom Kippur are Zecher the Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, that we don't know, maybe this year should have really been, we've lost the whole Cheshvan, maybe this year should really be Yovel. The other day is in Tosfos say, how can it be this is Yovel? And if this may be the Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, so blow on Yom Kippur. What do you blow Matzah? You blow an hour after Shkir. You wouldn't be Yotze. It's like blowing on Rosh Hashanah at night. You have to blow on Yom Kippur in the daytime. Yeah. So that's the other day in Tosfos, that's the generally accepted opinion. Yeah. Is now that it's just a similar seal of Shechina. Because it says at the conclusion of Maimon HaSinim, Emshech HaYovel Hema Yalu Bahar, when we hear the final Tkiyas, then everyone's allowed to go on HaSinai because the Maimon HaSinai is all over. So you see that Tkiyas Shofar is both a simon of Hashras HaShechina. When the shofar was blowing at the beginning of Maimon HaSinai, that was a simon that there was Hashras HaShechina. And then it was the conclusion, a simon for the Siluk HaShechina. So on Yom Kippur we have a special Hashras HaShechina. When the day is over, we blow shofar as a simon for the Siluk HaShechina. So the Rishonim point out this Gemara on Chavav and Beis.
What's the
meaning of
the
why dafke after Nila and why dafke after the Seder? Yeah, that's a problem. Why not after Akdamas and why not after Simchas Torah? What's that? The musicians not played at the end of every Chasana. But that was never part of the original meaning. Meaning only was at the end of the Seder, Pesach at the end of the Seder and Yom Kippur. I don't know. The Rabbanim wrote essays about that. They didn't really come up with
the carbon
Pesach. We would like that carbon Pesach. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe also we wish we would have a Beis Hamikdash to bring all the Masafim, to bring all the Avodas, to bring all the Karbonas.
Why are you keeping the best
I don't know. I don't know, why don't we consider Yom Kippur like a tiny Sibur? Everybody's fasting. It's the Mamish a tiny Sibur. But every tiny Sibur you do have Kiyas.
Because it's Shabbos.
Because it's Shabbos.
It's like Shabbos.
I don't know. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. But we don't. We don't. And even Yom Kippur Shal Yevil, that it says in the Chumash that you blow Shofar, so the Gemara says that that Shofar is not for the purpose of enhancing the Tefillah. And even though you say Malchus Zechayna Shofar, even though you say Malchus Zechayna Shofar, the Mishnah says, Shabbat HaYevil LeRosh Hashanah LeTkiyev LeBrachas, that on Yom Kippur Shal Yevil, normally on Yom Kippur you daven Musaf, you only have a seven brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. On Rosh Hashanah Dikei Musaf, you have nine brachas. On Yom Kippur, you only have seven brachas. On Yom Kippur Shal Yevil, the Musaf has to have nine brachas, the same as Rosh Hashanah. And you have to blow Shofar the same as Rosh Hashanah. But it doesn't say that you blow Shofar at the conclusion of the Malchus Vayner Shofar. The Pashtus says that you don't blow. That's the impression that you get from the Mishnahs and the Gemara. Pashtus says that you don't blow Shofar at the conclusion of Malchus Vayner Shofar. That's only on Rosh Hashanah. Where the Tkiya Shofar is for the purpose of enhancing the Tchilah, it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, also the Ramban says, but it's also to enhance the Tchilah. But then you blow Shofar at the conclusion of Malchus Vayner Shofar, is just like on a tiny Sibur. But on Yom Kippur Shal Yevil, you get the impression from the Gemara that the Rishonim will say, based on this Gemara, the Hemshech of the Gemara, Chavav and Beis, that the Tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shal Yevil have nothing to do with Tfilah. It's the other Rabbis, a similar Shiloh Havonim, happy times, not the Neis Zorah Tfilah. So that's really a question. It's really a question, if so, when you say the Malchus Zechayna Shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yevil, maybe you should only say nine Psukim. Maybe you shouldn't say ten Psukim. Although we have no record of what they said, because in the last Perek, and the last Perek, the Mishnah discusses.
You can make up your own
Pesukim,
but you can't have anything there.
You can quote, you can't make up, you mean you can quote any Pesukim that you want, yeah, right. So the Mishnah discusses on Lamed Beis Amin Aleph, the top Mishnah, two Mishnahs there, three Mishnahs. So the top Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amin Aleph presents a Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechon Menuri, how he's supposed to organize the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. You have to say the Gimel Rishonis. Every Shemoneh Esrei you have the Gimel Rishonis until HaMelech HaKadosh, then you have the Gimel Achronis starting from Mitzei till the end of the Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, that's six brachas. Then you have to have Malchus Zechayna Shofar, is another three brachas, is nine. Then you have to, and every Shabbos and Yom Tov you have one bracha on the Kedushas Hayom, so it should really be ten. So it seems that all the Tanaim had a tradition that you're not allowed to say Shemoneh Esrei with ten brachas. The Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah has to have nine brachas. With seven brachas, with nine brachas, with 18 brachas, 19 brachas, 26, 24 brachas, and they never found a mocker for 10 brachas, so they had to take the 10 brachas and combine some of them together, and combine two themes together, make it into nine. So that was an old machlokes hatanaim between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechon Menuri, that's the top Mishnah, Lamed Beis Amin Aleph, which two brachas should you combine together? So we follow Rabbi Akiva. We combine, normally on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, the fourth bracha is the bracha of the Kedushas HaYayim. Atta b'chatan v'kol ha'avto ha'isod ha'otzi z'mon. They say, Atta kiddashtu, yismach moshu, whatever, bracha on Kedushas HaYayim. And Rosh Hashanah, Temusif, the fourth bracha should contain both the theme of Kedushas HaYayim as well as the theme of Malchus, so you combine the two together. What's the connection between Malchus and Kedushas HaYayim? And Nishgefela, because it blends in very well. Because they say Baruch Ad Hashem Melech HaKol Haaretz Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikar. The theme of the Kedushas HaYayim, every Yom Tov has a theme. One of the major themes of Rosh Hashanah is the theme of Malchus, Mamam Lech HaKadosh Baruch Hu blends it. So that's what Rabbi Akiva says. That's what we do. And Rabbi Yechon Menuri disagrees. And the Gemara says there were the Gemara, the Bavli, and the Rishami says that there were areas in Eretz Yisrael where the minhag was like Rabbi Yechon Menuri. That his opinion is, the fourth bracha should be Kedushas HaYayim, that's all. The fifth and the sixth brachas are going to be Zechronis and Shofar. So what happened to Malchus? So he says, it makes more sense to him to combine Malchus with the Kedushas Hashem then to combine malchus with the kedusha sayyam, you say after kodesh shimcha kodesh kedusha mechol yom yahalucha selo, then you say aleinu l'shabeach and you say the malchus over there. Malchus has more of the shaychus with kedusha Hashem than it has with the kedusha sayyam. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Chaim. So Rabbi Akiva responds back to Rabbi Chaim Manuri, just a minute. According when do you blow shofar? So Rabbi Chaim Manuri says you don't blow shofar after Malchus, you blow shofar after the three middle brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei, you blow shofar. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the three middle brachas are the Malchus, the Chonis, and shofars. And the first one is a double bracha, it's Malchus with Kedushas Hayom. According to Rabbi Chaim Manuri, no. The three middle brachas are not Malchus. Malchus was included in Birchas Hashem, in Kedushas Hashem. When you say Atah Kodesh Hashem Chol Kodesh, you include Malchus there. And the three middle brachas of the nine, the three middle brachas are Kedushas Hayom and Zechonis and Shofar, that's when you blow Shofar, at the conclusion of those three. So Rabbi Akiva tines back to Rabbi Chaim Manuri, Imeinu Tokei Ela Malchus, if you hold that Malchus is recited in the middle of Atah Kodesh, Hashem Chol Kodesh, HaMelech HaKodesh, in the middle of that bracha, you recite Malchus. So he says, so why do you bother to say Malchus at all? Lama hu maske. Why should he bother to say Malchus? It doesn't make sense to say Malchus, we're not going to blow shofar. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean it doesn't make sense? A pasuk in the Chumash.
Yeah.
Either a real bona fide pasuk adin deraisa that you have to say Malchus, some Rishonim learn Kipshuta, Rashi sounds like he holds that it's a real din deraisa. And the Ramban Chumash says it's only an asmachta. But Al-Kopan the Gemara asks, what do you mean, Lamu hu maskir? Rachman Omar. The Torah says, either it means the Chachamim said you have to say Malchus, or the Torah says you have to say Malchus. So what kind of an argument did Rebbe Akiva present that it doesn't make sense to say Malchus if you're not going to blow shofar? Why? Malchus is a separate din, you have to say Malchus. The Gemara says, no, Rebbe Akiva's argument was, it doesn't make sense to say 10 psukim for Malchus, it should be enough to say 9 psukim. Why should you say 9 psukim? So the Gemara says, "Hol b'yishtani yishtani." Since it's already different from Zechonis and Shofars, in Zechonis and Shofars you're going to blow Shofar afterwards. So then you understand why you say 10 psukim instead of 9. But in Malchus, since Rabbi Chaim Manuri holds that you say Malchus together with Atah Kodesh and the Bracha of Kedushas Hashem, and he holds therefore you're not going to blow Shofar, so it doesn't make sense to say 10 psukim. It should be enough to say 9 psukim.
Why should this depend on that?
It's a psalmetic clear.
It can be also the Bruchas and Malchus and Kodesh Shofaris if you just say
no psukim. No psukim also, yeah. So what is Rabbi Akiva as like a psalmetic clear? What does Rabbi Akiva make it totally zebizeh? If you're going to blow Shofar, then it makes sense to have a 10th pasuk. But if Rabbi Yechim and Nuri holds that you don't blow Shofar, you don't blow Shofar after Malchus, because he holds that you say Malchus in the middle of Atah Kodesh, you don't say it in the middle of Atah Kodesh. That's another question. But that's the assumption over here. So Rabbi Akiva argues that since you're not going to blow Shofar, Hoyel V'yishtani, since it's so much different from Zechonis and Shofaris, let's make it different and only have 9 psukim instead of 10. What kind of a wild question is that? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to be fond of giving his taich in this Gemara. And apparently he succeeded in saying it so many times he convinced everybody. Last week, Chazma Alavani was giving a lecture. He was giving a whole dissertation about the Nusach HaTfilah. HaTarayin also Rav Soloveitchik's Nusach and the Davin. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to ask the Balei Tfilah in the middle of the Shia, he'd sometimes ask the Balei Tfilah, what's the Niggin? How do you say the niggun at the end of the 10th pasuk? Right. You say, "V'serosu Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad." Elokeinu, okay. You say, "Elecha Kol Olam Kuloi V'Chodesh." So you'd always get a chazan about tefillah to say, and then you say, "No, it's not correct. You're supposed to pause before." So he hacked it so many times. Chazan Malavani already knows that. Chazan Malavani said last week that you have to pause after the 9th pasuk because of Sarasa, because the Leiva belongs to Elokeinu Elokeinu. That's what the Rav kept on hacking, because he pointed out, the Rishonim pointed out, where do you insert the 10th pasuk? So he said, if you look in Zechronis and you look in Shofaris, the 10th pasuk doesn't appear at the end of the 9th pasukim. What is the structure of the Malchus Chonis Shofaris? So he pointed out, first you start with the Yisod and Emunah, that we believe in Malchus. and then the next bracha. We believe in shofars, we believe in zachronis. Malchus means we believe in the existence of God, and God has full control over the world. And zachronis means chaviyonish. Because both remembers everything that happened, and he rewards the tzaddik, and he punishes the rishon. And shofars means we believe in gilu shchin, we believe in Torah min hashamayim, we believe in bias hamashiach. All the things that were accompanied with kiyas shofar. So each one of the three brachas, Malchus and Shofar, starts with an introduction that makes a statement of the Amuna. We believe in this Ikir and Amuna. And then to demonstrate, to prove that who says that this is an Ikir in our religion, maybe it's not so. So the only way we know what we believe in is from the Tanakh. So when you want to prove something, so he said, Dovah Zadkasa Batara, Vishonim Avim, Mishulash Baksuvim. So if you quote one pasuk from Chumash, one from Navi, one from Ksuvim, so that's a proof. Like Kol Mokum Shah Amar Rabbi Yechon, Kol Mokum Shah Tamos Zilos Shal Gavrach Shamat Tamos Amisol Nusa. That was a kasa b'Torah. Shalom Avim Shalosh Pesukim. What if you give three pesukim from the Torah and three pesukim from the Rebbe, three pesukim from the Ksuvim? Tops finished. So nine pesukim is showing up. Nine pesukim, three and three and three. So what do you need more tenth pasuk? So he said, no, the tenth pasuk in the Chreinus and Shofars really appears in the middle of the concluding paragraph. First you say the Ikir and Amuna, you state it. Ata Nikolaita Ba'anam Kredecho, or you say each one, Malchus and Shofars, you say the Ikir and Amuna. Then you demonstrate that this is an Ikir and Amuna by citing Pesukim from the Tanakh, 3, 3 and 3. And then you say, Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu, see to it that all of these Ikurim should be so. We want to galak by Malchus Cholenu. Let's say Malchus Cholenu Kula Bechvedecha. Let's see any of the Malchus. We know that you're the Nyo, that you're the Melach. So show that you're the Melach. And Zichreinus, remember us for a good year. And Shofars, bring the Mashiach and make a Gilu Shchin and do all the things that the Shofar is supposed to represent. So each one of the brachas concludes with a Bakosh Ala Habo. So to enhance that Bakosh, we quote a pasuk from the Chumash. So in the Zichreinus and in the Shofars, the tenth pasuk is not really for the purpose of proving the point.
Yeah.
The point has been proved already. Die b'hoise with the 3, 3, and 3, the 9 pesukim. The purpose of the pasuk, the tenth pasuk at the end, is to enhance the bakasha, which is leading up to a tkiyas shofar. In Malchus, the Achreinim and Shulchan Aruch give a whole reason why we don't include the pasuk in the Lakeinu Kaseinu Melechu Kol Ha'olam Kulo Bechvedecha, because it's a joint bracha over here. This bracha is both Kedushas Hayoyim
and
Malchus. We follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion, we combine. On a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Lakeinu Kaseinu Kadshenu Mitzvah Tzvebu Kadshenu Mitzvah Tzvebu Mitzvah Tzvebu. Or you say Vahasiyenu on a Yom Tov, whatever you say, you don't throw in any pesukim there. You just conclude with the Bakosh. So this concluding paragraph of Malchus, since this bracha is both Malchus with Kedushas Hayom combined together, and in Kedushas Hayom normally you don't have any pesukim, so the Tanaim didn't want to introduce the pasuk there, but they had it at the end of the 9 pesukim, not for the purpose of proving the point. No, the point was already proved very well, but it's really supposed to be an introduction to the Kenel Kedushanim Lachal Kolam Kulam. So that's when Chazma Avani said over, he already forgot that he must have heard it from Rav Soloveitchik or Vishen Rav Soloveitchik, that the Chazan should really pause, and he showed the way he sings the Nigan in such a way that he pauses in between the ninth Pasuk of Sarasra Kosov Leima, goes together with Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik explained over here that Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Yechem Anuri, and he says, Emeinu Tokeya, if your Shita is that you're supposed to incorporate Malchus with Ata Kodesh Hashimcha Kodesh, not with Ata V'chatanu. You combine Malchus with Kedushas Hashem, not with Kedushas Hayayim. So he says, Shalom HaMaskir at 10th Pasuk. If you hold that you don't blow after Malchus, that's enough with 9 Pesukim. All you need is a 9 Pesukim to prove the point. You're not going to have any Tkiyas that you want to enhance the Bakosha at the end, which is leading up to a Tkiyas. The Tkiyas enhance the Bakosha, and the addition of the pasuk enhances the bakosha. We quote a pasuk from Tanakh. Rabbeinu Shalom, you promised in your Tanakh that this is it. Nu, make good, keep your promise. Shteitach in your Tanakh, you gave us the Tanakh. So keep your word that you gave us in the Tanakh. So if you're not going to blow shofar to enhance it, so there's no need to add the pasuk either. That's how the Rav explained this argument of Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Yechem Anuri. So I was just wondering, we have no record. It's already been so many centuries since we have ever davened this Malchus Rechonu Shofars on Yom Kippur Shal Yoivov, not exactly 100% the same, the Gemara says. Even though it says in the Mishnah, Shava Hayoivul at Kiya Vila Brochis, you say Malchus Gana Shoifis, and you blow Shoifis, but it's not exactly the same. Gemara says, you don't say Hayom Harasoilom. And Yom Kippur Shoyevul, Gemara says, you don't say Hayom Harasoilom. And now we say so many piyutim, lots of those piyutim only fit in with Rosh Hashanah. A lot of them do not fit in with Yom Kippur Shoyevul. Of course, you're not going to say all of those. Some of them we say on Yom Kippur also.
Say
Hayom Chilas Masechel. Yom Chilas Masechel, does not fit in with Yom Kippur, right? So it's not going to be a 100% equation. Some of the things are going to be different. I'm just wondering the way all of the Rishonim say that based on the Gemara, they didn't make it up. Oh, the Bartanura writes it on Mishnayis, or even the Gemara is not Mefurish. Even the Bartanura writes it on Mishnayis where it's not Mefurish in the Mishnayis. It's based on the Gemara that the Tkiyas of Yom Kippur Shol Yoivol are not for the purpose of enhancing the Tfilas. Then it should come out that there should be no Tkiyas al Seder Abrachas in the Chazaras HaShas. Because that's how Rav Soloveitchik can say the only reason why you have Tkiyas al Seder Abrachas is where the Ramban said, the same as the Taina Sibur, the same on Rosh Hashanah to enhance the Tfilas. But if you say that Tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shol Yoivol are for a Simon of the Shiluach HaVadim, it has nothing to do with the Tfilas. It shouldn't be al Seder Abrach, should be separate. And then, if you're not going to blow al Seder Abrach, then you only have to have nine psukim. If you put together Rabbi Akiva's argument, then the Nusach is going to be in Gansan different. You're not going to have the 10th Pasuk. It's an interesting idea.
I thought the 10th Pasuk used to end up with a Pasuk from the Torah, since he quoted from the Psukim.
The impression that you get from the Rishonim.
Yeah.
That's the Poshup Shant, is like you're saying. That you were hacking so much with Ksuvim and Nevi'im, and that, as if it's just the Choshev Eterah. So you want to go back to the Chumash again. I would have said that's the Poshup Shant in all of Rishonim. But Rav Soloveitchik had this Teledik in Gemara where it says, why do you say 10? You should say 9 because you're not blowing Shofar. This strange Gemara. Hoyal Ishtani Ishtani. So he said, that's what you see from that Gemara. And that's why he was matrik to say that you're supposed to pause before Shema Yisrael. That the Shema Yisrael really is connected with the Lekeinu Lekevusin. Otherwise you don't understand this Gemara. So then it should come out after Sapelet Gezach, that on Yom Kippur Shol Yoivol, everything is very different. That you only say 9 psukim instead of 10. And you don't blow the shofar in the middle of the Hazar Hashas? Could be.
Why do you see the Malkin?
The Gemara learns that out also from a pasuk. According to some Rishonim, that's a din there, right? According to others, the whole thing is an asmachta. That on Yom Kippur Shol Yoivol also, you have to say Malchus Gvein Shofas. I don't know.
Maybe the Shofas.
But the Rishonim say you have halachas that indicate that the tkiyas on Yom Kippur are not at all to enhance the tefillah. Separate din. Not that Rosh Hashanah is both. It's a separate inyan, and also to enhance the tefillah. And then Yom Kippur has nothing to do with the tefillah. That's what they say, Rayas from the Gemara. That whether it should be twisted, should be straight, another chilukim. Halacha lemaisa, chilukim.
Nowadays, our tefillah is replaced with karbonos. We don't have the mikdash and karbonos. And the Beis HaMikdash is going to be able to, when it was in existence previously, they did also have
part of the Gemara in Sukkah gives you the Seder Hayom, the schedule that they had when they observed Simchas Beis HaSheva. So he says they offered the Tomas Shel Shachar. They were huling all night long and singing and dancing. Then they offered the Tomas Shel Shachar, and then we went to Dav Shachar. Then they offered the Musaf, went to Dav Musaf. Then we David Mincha, and they offered the Tomas Shel Bein Arbayim. So you see, this man by Sheni, they daven with it also. Doesn't mean that the tefillos are, because the Kiveger on the bottom of the page, and the Gilyon HaShas, and that Gemara Sukkah refers you to one of the Sifri Huachredim who points this out. So you see that even with man by Sheni, they also daven. When the Gemara says that the tefillos are keneged ha-korbanis, it does mean that it serves as a substitute for the korbanis. It means this manim tefillah were instituted corresponding to this manim of the korbanis, but they existed. Today, when, by Musaf. If you don't have the opportunity to bring the Karbonis, when you read the Dinim about the Karbonis, then be considered as if you offered the Karbonis. And Shalom Afar Sosein,
Yom Tchilas Masechu, Rosh Hashanah, would indicate that Rosh Hashanah started the creation of the world.
Yeah.
That was Rosh Hashanah that Udmurishan was created. So it was already the end of the creation.
Yeah, that's what it means. This is the beginning of recorded time.
You have two brokers, you have ten psukim, and this one will be stuck with nine. How would it look? The whole Seder was set up on the basis of ten psukim. So you can't very well say that you leave one for yourself and only with
nine.
Yeah.
And so you don't agree with Rabbi Akiva.
I'm sorry?
So you don't agree with Rabbi Akiva. So we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. This is the winning argument of Rabbi Akiva. This is the winning argument of Rabbi Akiva, that he objefrekt Rabbi Yechiel Nuri's position with this argument. That we all have a tradition, you say Tem Sukkim, Alabes and Tem Sukkim. So he says, Lefishi Toscha, that you don't blow shofar after Malchias. So it absolutely doesn't make any sense. It should only be nine. So that's what Soloveitchik explained, what the argument was.
I remember when you first discussed this some time ago, the question was asked, why not look for a pusik somewhere with ten words?
With ten brachas. Why not with ten brachas?
Yeah, so you said, because the ancient Nesagdoiler, Bohem Kamunavim, you couldn't just look and find a pusik like this, a pusik like this, because they knew Alpinavim, that's what you said.
Rav Chaim Volozhiner has that loshen. In Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes that the Chazal have the loshen in Megillah. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah consisted of 120 Chachamim, or Bohem Kama Nevim, amongst them Nevim. Heim, Tiknu Lahem Yisrael, they were the ones who composed the Neschos of Kiddush and Abdullah and the Shemoneh Esrei. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, why do they have to mention the Yichus?
Yeah.
Rabbi Doctor. Well, what is it? Negei Rabbi Doctor. No, 120 Chachamim got together. So he says, no, if they wouldn't have had the Nevi'im who knew how to be Menaseach at Tfilah, they wouldn't have been able to write a Nusach at Tfilah that we're still saying today, 2,000 years later, 2,500 years later. It's impossible. It would be unbelievable. How could it be? So the only reason why we follow that Nusach at Tfilah is because of Behem Kam and Nevi'im. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say also, that in Yiddish there's an expression, says, Azeh Gros V'Atalamot and Aklein Tzidol. Talamata is usually in tiny letters, and a tiny hand said it is so tiny you can't even see it. And the din is that if you said Talamata in the summertime, you're not yotze. If you left that Talamata in winter, you're not yotze. Such a tiny thing, you can't even see it. That's the whole Yiddish expression. And that's ma'akib the tefillah b'liyevah. We don't understand what's the big thing is all about. So he said, we don't understand a lot of things about tefillah. That's what the Chazal said. Behem kamenavim. They said, oh, but this comment, the Rav Chaim Volozhiner has in the Nefesh HaChaim. Here. The Gemara here in this perek, in the third perek, discusses what is acceptable, which shofars are acceptable and which not. On Chavov HaMebeis, then the Avaita on Chav Zayin HaMedalek, on Chav Zayin HaMebeis. So the Gemara has it in, let's say I have a shofar and I made it so thin, it's so thin, just a mashu. It has very little thickness to it. So the Gemara says that's okay. The Gemara has on Chav Zainam and Beis Gordo behemidav al Gildo kosher. If he scraped, and the shofar is so skinny and mamish and mashu, that's also kosher. And what if I care? What if you have the shofar has flesh in the middle?
Yeah.
So what if instead of scraping out all the flesh like he's supposed to, he just makes a hole, he drills a hole through, and he leaves all the flesh in there. He just drills a tiny hole enough to make a sound come through. It's not going to be the same sound. Depending on how thick or how thin the shell is, depending if you left all the flesh or you left all the guktis, it's going to be a ganz in a different tone. But the Gemara says that kolosh kolos k'sherim b'shofar. Whatever it sounds like, as long as the key is so long and the true is so long, as long as the relationship to each other, it's okay. So it's a good call. So what would it then be there? So the Gemara says that's also good. That's the Gemara later. The Gemara calls it kotcha b'zachrusay. It's like you have a zachrus inside, a neighbor zachrus inside a nakrus. So the Gemara calls the flesh that's inside the shofar, it's called the zachrus. And if he just drilled the hole, katcha b'zachrus, and he left all the flesh inside, and the coal and the sound comes in the middle of that drilled hole through the flesh, the Gemara says katcha b'zachrus is also good. So the Ramban in his drasha for Rosh Hashanah has an original chiddush. It's not,
because
it's all part of the original shofar. That's the way it grew. Yeah. If I'll take a meatball and put it in, that'll be a problem. But if that was the flesh that was there originally, so the Gemara says that's good, that's the Gemara later, Kotcha B'Zachusa. So the Ramban in the Drasha for Rosh Hashanah has a comment on that Gemara. So he says, what if you have an animal that has a solid horn that doesn't have any Zachrus? Doesn't have any flesh inside. Just a solid horn, and you took a drill and you drilled a hole through the horn. So he says it's absolutely no good. So he says that's the Ramban's chiddush. He says that the word shofar comes from Loshon Shofaris. That it has to be a hollowed out shofar. So if it grows, many animals have a horn that doesn't have any flesh inside. It's a solid chunk of horn. So he says such a horn is not acceptable. So all of the Ran and all the Rishonim quote this already from the Drashas and Ramban. So the Shulchan Aruch, they quote like that also. That if you see from the Gemara, from Kotcha to Zachrusa, that you have to have a Zachrus that either you remove or you drill through. But if it doesn't have a Zachrus at all, the whole thing is solid horn, then it's Bechlal not included in, then it's a Keren. Then it's a Keren, it's not called the Shofar. Shofar is Nikra al Shem Ashpoferis. The fact that it has a hollowness, it's a container. That
so could be here. Between
the Gemara speaks about Keren Shofar, Keren Shalpara. Shofar Shalpara is a Machlokes HaTanoim. So they say maybe it's only called Keren, it's never called Shofar. That's a Chavav and Medaur. But the Gemara never says that Keren means that it's solid. The Gemara never says that. That's what the Ramban pointed that out. Based on the Gemara that talks about Kotcha B'Zachrus.
You come to us and take a shofar and you drill not in the zachrus, in the meat, but you drill in the bone itself, if you make a hole, then maybe also not be gone.
Also not, because the coal has to come through some section of the zachrus. Probably also, probably the same thing. Probably also the same thing. So now after the Ran quotes this from the Ramban, then the Ran also, the Ramban has an original chiddush. Ramban understood that that's given. That's the premise of what they're discussing. Then the Ran throws in another chiddush for state nishni gemara. It's also quoted in Shulchan Aruch. What if you have a non-kosher animal that has horns that are acceptable? It has a zachrus, it has basar inside the horn, and I scrape out the basar and I make a shofar out of it. Would that be acceptable? So the Ran says no, based on the Gemara Ben Mablikin, that the Gemara says we have a tradition, we have a pasuk that says regarding tefillin, Leman Tiyatar Hashem Eficho, Kibiyar Chazoka Siach Hashem in Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says that when you write the parshias of tefillin, say Vitar Tefillin Mezuzah, whenever you write Teres Hashem, it has to be on klafet muta beficho. So if you take or behemot tmeyo, if you take parchment that was made from the hide of a non-kosher animal, and you write Dibre Torah and say Vitar Tefillin Mezuzah, but that'll be possible, because the pasuk says Leman Tiyatar Hashem Eficho in conjunction with Tzul. So the Gemara says that's a pasuk, a drosha from a pasuk, and in addition to the drosha from the pasuk, we have also Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai that Lehuchshu LaMelech HaShamayim Ala Or Behemet Or Bovad. So the Gemara asks that kasha, what do you need Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai if it's a pasuk? It's the HaPasuk Tar Hashem Eficho. So what's added? There must be something added on by the Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. So the Gemara says the only thing you learn from the pasuk is Teres Hashem b'Ficha. If you're writing Psukim from Chumash, you write Divrei Torah. So that's the parsha, the cloth that you wrote, the parsha of Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah. What about the Batim? The Batim don't have any Divrei Torah. So the Gemara says no. It depends. The Bayis Shel Rosh has a Shin, and one letter is also Divrei Torah. The Gemara says the Shin. When you learn, so we're giving a whole pilpul for an hour. Even if you learn one shtickle Torah, even if you learn one letter, one shin, that's also Dibre Torah. So the Gemara says that Bayis Shel Rosh has one shin. We have it, our Pikabola, we have two shins. One on the right side, one on the left side. The Gemara doesn't say two shins. That's it. Any. Gemara has one shin. Shin Shel Tefillin Aruch HaMoshe MiSinai. The Gemara says one shin is enough to be called Torah. Dibre Torah, one letter is enough. They don't need the Aruch HaMoshe MiSinai to tell me that the batim of the Shel Rosh may not be made from the leather from a non-kosher animal. I know it from the pasuk. So what do I need the Halacha Moshe MiSinai for? So the answer is I need it for the batim of the shalyad with not even one letter, or for the ritzuas, or for the ritzuas. That's Tosfos Taina against Rashi from the Gemara. That Rashi learns on the Gemara in Menachos that kesher shel tefillin Halacha Moshe MiSinai. The Rashi says the Halacha Moshe MiSinai says that you have the letters shin dalad yud. The shin is on the shal rosh. The dalit is on the kesher shal rosh. And the yud is on the kesher shel yatz. Rashi says that just like the shin is an oyster of divrei Torah, Torah Hashem, so the dalet and the yud are also oysters of the shem Hashem divrei Torah. So Tosis says, so then the ritzuas of the shel yatz and shel rosh are this. I was saying that the Bayi Sholosh. So what did the Gemara say that the halacha l'moshe mis Sinai is needed to tell me? The paschal ritzuis that are made from Orbeim Atmeya, the same pasuk that says that the shin may not be written on the Sholosh, on Orbeim Atmeya, should apply to the ritzuis of the Sholyam Sholosh. So Tesis is machriya from this Gemara that Kesher shall tefillin halacha l'moshe mis Sinai on the level of the Raisa that halacha l'moshe mis Sinai just is, that there should be a Kesher. The fact that we are medactic to make a dalet and to make a yud, this is only midirabbanan. This is not minatera. If it would have been minatera, it would have been dissolved the status of an os. The shin, so the Gemara wouldn't need the halacha moshe misinai for the ritzus. So the Gemara says, so what's the final conclusion? That you have two sources to teach you basically the same din. That not only does the din require or beimatera for the klaf on which I'm going to write the parshios, and for the or of the shorosh on which I'm going to make a shin, even on the ritzuis, which have no ICS at all, no, doesn't even have one letter of Divrei Torah, or even on the Bayi Shel Yad, which doesn't have even one letter of Divrei Torah, also lahuchshu l'malach ha-shamayim, elor beim ha-torah, that's already halacha moshe mistina. So the Ran quotes that Gemara, and he says, once the Gemara came to the conclusion that lahuchshu l'malach ha-shamayim, it's a funny lotion, an expression, l'malach ha-shamayim, when it comes to the conclusion, there's halacha moshe mistina, lahuchshu l'malach ha-shamayim, for mitzvahs, you have to have dafka or beim ha-torah. So he says it applies to shofar also. If you're going to take a shofar from a non-kosher animal, even though you're not using it, it's not food, it's a non-food item. But he says the hide that you convert into parchment is also a non-food item. Whenever you have a trefa animal, let's say have an elephant. So atzam is gidden kanaim klofim in or, is not trefa, only besar behema tmeya is also nevela. The sand avail is us. Atzom is given kanaim profman or is not the chlal basar. It's inedible, so that's not called basar. Nonetheless, it's no good from Allah Hashemayim. You may not use the or beim tmeyo to write divrei Torah, or you can't use it to make the ritzuis. So the Ran says, so adinami the shofar, even though the shofar is an inedible item, it's not meichel at all. If it comes from a beim tmeyo, you're not allowed to use it for the shofar. And this Ran is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That if the shofar comes from a beim tmeyo, you're not allowed to use it because the halacha l'moshe misina l'huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim. So the achrayim have kashas, the Ramo quotes this. The achrayim have two kashas against the Ran. One kasha in halacha and one kasha in mitzias. So one kasha in halacha that they have a whole discussion on is, how did the Ran know that the klal l'huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim even includes tashmishei mitzah? Whenever we have religious articles, items that we use to fulfill mitzvahs, the Gemara Megillah divides them into two categories. You have a lulav, and tzitzis, and a sukkah, and a shofar, that's tashmishei mitzvah. And then you have tashmishei kedusha, the retort tefillin and mezuzah. The difference being, the retort tefillin and mezuzah, if it's worn out and you can't use it, you have to put it in shemesh, it's nignosim. You have to bury it. And the other is tashmishei mitzvah, when sukkah is over, you just throw it in the incinerator. Or you throw it in the garbage. You don't put it in shameless. Tashmisha mitzvah is rokim, and the tashmisha kedusha nignozim. So the achrayim has the kasha. How did the Ran know that the klal nigmar l'huchshul l'malach ha-shamayim, elor beim ha-torah vad, even applies to a shofar? A shofar is not a tashmisha kedusha. It's only tashmisha mitzvah. The Gemara only said that you can't use or beim ha-tmeya for ritzuis of tefillin and for the bayis shel yad. That's not tashmisha kedusha. Maybe it doesn't. The Pashtus.
To finish your sukkah.
Yeah.
You need a lot of use,
a pill. The Mishnah says you can use an elephant to serve his finish your sukkah. So it does not show that the halach of kosher animal doesn't apply at all to tashmishe mitzvah. That's the harai against Iran. So Dorach HaShulchan asked that kasha. Dorach HaShulchan and his son was the Torah Tmima. So the Torah Tmima doesn't give credit over here to his father. There's a lot of things that he doesn't give credit. So here, he comes from his father. So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Torah Tmima both give the same answer. He says, when is there a halacha that you have to use or beim ha-torah that you're not allowed to use from a non-kosher animal if the halacha requires that it should be from an animal? That has to be a kosher animal. But if the halacha is sukkah, you can use wood. You can use plastic, synthetic material. You can use metal. You can use whatever you want. If the halacha doesn't require bichlal that it should be from an animal, then there's no chisan if it's from a treifa animal either. That's a big machlokes in our time. But that's the Or HaShulchan brings that right. That's where they have tshuvas. Dayan Grossman, Zechon Levracha, used to be a dayan in London. So he has a tshuva sefer. And Leib Ari and Chelek Beis, he has such a tshuva. That one of the Balabatim is very wealthy, and he wanted to spend a lot of money to make a beautiful Oren Kodesh, and he wanted to line the inside of the Oren Kodesh instead of lining it with cloth material. He wanted to line it with black horse leather. Jet black horse leather. To spend as much money as possible. So they asked the Shailot to it. Or behemet tameya, luch shel malach shemayim, or behemet tameya. So he writes a tshuva. He says, according to the Rosh Hashulchan, is zichagud, because the halacha doesn't require bechlal that you should use from an animal. If you want, you can use cloth. If you want, you don't have to have any lining at all. You can just have a wooden Oren Kodesh without any lining. So whenever the halacha doesn't require that it should be from an animal, then there's no requirement for it. Yeah. So that's a shaila.
Not to the
Tashmish Kedusha, right. Then it becomes a Tashmish Kedusha. Right. That'll become Tashmish Kedusha. So, in a certain sense, the horse leather lining of the Aron Kodesh is a bigger shayla than the Shafer. Because the Shafer is never going to be elevated to the level of a Tashmish Kedusha. And the horse leather lining in the Aron Kodesh is going to be a Tashmish Kedusha. So that's what a few Achronim Taina, the Teres Chesed, the Levli, the Rav, has all tshuva, where he's Moira this Taina against Iran. How did Iran know to extend the Allah of the Hukshul Malach Shamayim even to Tashmish Mitzvah? Maybe it's restricted only to Tashmish Kedusha. The Gemara only has it by Ritzuas and by the Batim Shal Yad. The Gemara never said it by Tashmish Mitzvah. But that the Rabbeinu Tam also extended. There's a Tosfos in Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza. When you do Chalitza, so the Yavam has to take off the shoe from the right foot of the Yavam. So the Gemara has a Machlekes Tatanoim, Bos Heist HaShu. Is a leather shoe also good? Is a cloth shoe with cloth slippers also good? Or does it have to be Dafke? Does it have to be leather? What if it's wood? What's the halacha? So it's a machlokes hatanoim, and we paskin only leather. We paskin has to be a leather shoe. So the Rabbeinu Tam said, how do we know that it has to be a leather shoe? Because there's a pasuk in Yecheskel that says, when the Rabbeinu Shalom took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he took care of us like a mother takes care of a baby. Change the diaper, and you wash the baby, and you put on powder, and you straighten out the legs, and you take care of the baby. So Rabbeinu Shalom took care of us like a mother takes care of the baby. And the pasuk says, you dress up the baby and put on shichalach, and it says, ve'enolech tochash. I put on shoes on the Bnei Yisrael from tachash leather. Tachash, oris tchashim, or tachash was an animal. The Gemara says it must have been a kosher animal because l'huch shel malach shamayim. That's that Gemara.
Right.
The Bamadlikin, that Gemara goes on tachash. Mm-hmm. With the tachash, the Gemara says, was only an animal that existed in the Aramidbar, so we don't have it anymore. So the Gemara clears, was it a kosher animal? Was it not a kosher animal? So it has to be a kosher animal. How could it be a treif animal? L'huch shel malach shamayim, alor behemet Torah b'levad. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that since the clincher, the pasuk that clinches the issue, the pasuk that indicates that the sandal shel chalitza, it's only called a nal if it's from leather, is that pasuk then or lechtocha? She says v'cholta nal omial raglov. She should remove the nal. So what's the definition of nal? Maybe a wooden shoe is good. Maybe a cloth shoe. Maybe rubber sneakers is good. So the pasuk in Cheskel says then or lechtocha. I put on shoes. I put on your shoes that's made from tachash. So you see that you need leather. So since the pasuk says tachash, so Rabbi Natan says it has to be or behemet Torah. The chalitza shoe can't be from an or behemet man. So frekza hakashe. But that's the same pasuk that tells us that on Yom Kippur the definition of a shoe is only leather. Yeah. The same achlekes hatanaim goes on Yom Kippur. Half of the tanaim hold that you're not allowed to wear sneakers on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wear slippers on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wooden shoes on Yom Kippur. And we don't pasuk like that. Mikir adin. The Rav used to recommend you should be machmer, but the Balamor pasuk is like that. That all other materials is also okay. Called a shoe. He says that if it needs a deraisa to wear on Yom Kippur. But basically, we don't pasuk like that. We pasuk in only leather. But most of our shoes are horse leather. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, a shoe is only if it's kosher from a kosher animal. Horse leather is not called a shoe for Yom Kippur either. Hatam Ma'aseh, never heard of such a thing. Never heard of such a thing. So that's why a few Achrayim said, the Rosh Hashulchan, and the Ruchas Chalit, and others, they say, when the Rabbeinu Tam said that it has to be from a kosher animal, he was only talking about Sandal Shel Chalit. He didn't mean the definition of now is a kosher animal. Sandal Shel Chalit is the Chatashmishe Mitzvah. You're performing a Mitzvah Chalit with it. Chalitza is not only a matir, that it's matir di yivam al hashuk, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah too. The Harayat Tesis says they have a lot of dinim that are only lechatchila, that are not miyakid b'diyevet. So if it weren't a mitzvah, it wouldn't make sense that you should have lechatchila's deraisa. So we know Tesis says the chalitza is a mitzvah. It's not just a matir, it's a mitzvah. So since the shoe with which you perform the chalitza is a chefter shal mitzvah, it's a tashmishe mitzvah. So the halacha says lehuch shulam alaych ha-shamayim alaych behem torah b'vad. He didn't mean to say so much that the pasuk in Yecheskel state that's what the Rabbeinu Tam said. So the Achrayim said that's not really what he meant. If that's really the strength of his argument, then on Yom Kippur he should be allowed to wear horse leather shoes. And we never heard of such a thing. So he said no, Rabbeinu Tam only meant because the sound of Shalchalitza is a tashmish and mitzvah. So they point out that this half of the Ran already has a precedence in the Rabbeinu Tam. The Ran said that the shofar of Yom Kippur cannot come from a non-kosher animal because l'huch shalom alach shamayim, and Achrenim asked, but that maybe that only applies to Tashmishe Kedusha. How does the Ran know that it even applies to Tashmishe Mitzvah? So the answer is a good tanya, but the Rabbeinu Tam already said it before, and we're machma for the Rabbeinu Tam. We are machma that the sandal shal chalitza should be from a kosher animal. So the Ran just said the same as the Rabbeinu Tam. So that's the one argument that the Achrayim raised an issue against the Ran was, how did he know that the halacha l'moshe misina of l'huch shom olach shamayim even extends to tashmishe mitzvah? Maybe it's only restricted to tashmishe kedusha. So they say the Rabbeinu Tam already said. The other kasha that he asked is a kasha metzias and hechi timtze. Is there such an animal? Does such an animal exist? A non-kosher animal that has horns? Because there's a Mishnah Nida that says that any animal that has horns is biyadua. Mishnah says that any fish that has scales certainly has fins. But just because the fish has fins doesn't necessarily follow that it has scales. And the Mishnah has whatever has this, has that. Whoever's possible latest is possible dayanus. There are people who are possible dayanus or not possible latest. Whatever is chayvin trumas and maizis is chayvin like a chikhape. Whatever is this, is that. Not necessarily this way, that way. A series of Mishnah is about what yesh b'chal masayim on it. What follows from what? So the Mishnah says any animal, just because an animal has split hoofs doesn't necessarily indicate that it's going to have horns. But any animal that has horns is 100% hoichacha that it's going to have split hoofs and it's going to be a kosher animal. That's what it means. It's going to be a kosher animal. That's the context of the Mishnah. So they ask on their run, what is he talking about? It doesn't exist. If you have an animal that has a horn, that means that it's a kosher animal. So how can he say you're not permitted to use the horn of a non-kosher animal if it doesn't exist? So the Be'er HaGoyla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch Matzitzich, and he quotes a possible teret. If the Echid Timtze was noiva from a Ben Mitmeya, he gives the Echid Timtze where it is possible to have such a thing.
Said before about the case of the seven being halukha the manshim sinna, it's like the reason is a chayra, it's like case of the case of the head of the phone.
So what? So this does not mean
Shaila, whether he showed him the Tzuris HaKesher also, or just he showed him there should be a Kesher. So the Rambam seems to hold, like Rashi, that the Dalit is a din deraisa, but the Rambam is careful. He writes, it has to be a Kesher b'tzuras Dalit. He doesn't say it's a dalit. It's a kesher that looks like a dalit. And that's why the Rabbanu Shlom showed him the kesher. He showed him that it looks like a dalit. What do you have to show him for? He said, make a kesher with a dalit. No, it's not true. It's not a kesher that has a dalit. If it would be a dalit, it would be Torah Hashem. Then I wouldn't need the halacha Moshe Nisina. So it's a kesher that should look like a dalit. So since it depends on the appearance, so that's what the Rabbanu Shlom was. Herolo kesher shel tzum. The Gemara says in Chagiga, in the second parak of Chagiga, that there are certain areas of science that we're not permitted to delve into. So the Gemara says several of the areas, Malamaila, Malamata, Malafon, Malayoha, this is what they're writing about all the time in all the magazines now, about the Big Bang and how did the world come into existence, and all the scientists are trying to reconstruct the Bria Soilum. So the Gemara says that it's prohibited to read those articles. You're not allowed to read. The Gemara says that it's a real issue. You're not allowed to read these things. What is this based on? So the Gemara has part of it. The Medrash has the two psukim and Kehelos. One pasuk says Kvod Elokim Hesed Dover. The other pasuk says Kvod Malachim Chakor Dover. It's the kavod of the king that you bring everything out into the open, and it's the kavod of the Rabbanu Shel Olam that you keep everything a secret. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam is the king also, he's the Melech Olam, but he only became a Melech after Adam HaRishon was created, because Ein Melech B'Layam. The Kabbalim use such an expression, Ein Melech B'Layam. The Balat Tanya always quotes that. It's interesting, someone just published a book now, a collection of drushes from Rav Soloveitchik. He writes he never learned by Rav Soloveitchik, never learned by any Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, but he enjoyed the tapes that he got from Mr. Nordlach, and he wants to be Mahana the whole Olam. So he put out a book. So he writes in the introduction that he searched out every Mara Mokmer, every Rav Soloveitchik quoted in the Maimon Chazal, he's going to give you what the Mokmer is. So sometimes he gives you the Mokmer, it's the correct Mokmer, the Maimon appears there, but that's not where Rav Soloveitchik quoted it from. So on this expression, Ein Melech B'Layam, he quotes it from the Rabbeinu B'Chaya. Rav Soloveitchik never used the Rabbeinu B'Chaya. This is from the Tanya. The first page in the Tanya quotes Ein Melech B'Layam from the Kabbalah Svarim. That's a common expression. So the Rabbeinu Shalom is both Elohim and he's Melech, but he's Adonam HaShemach B'Terech Kohen Sinim. The Rabbeinu Shalom only became the Melech after he created Adam HaRishon. Before Adam HaRishon, he wasn't the Melech, he was Elohim. So the Medrash says, Kvod Elohim has to Dovor, refers to everything up until by Chulah Hashemayim Bahoritz, by Yer, by Beki Yamashishi, by Chulah Hashemayim Bahoritz. Everything that's before by Chulah Hashemayim, you're not permitted to delve into. That's based on the post of Kvod Elokim Hester Dover. And all of the things from then on, from by Chulah on, it's a Medrash Rabbah on the post of by Chulah, and it's on Kohelis also on the Medrash Rabbah. And everything after by Chulah, that's Kvod Malachim Chakor Dover, because Azai Melech Shemoy Nikra, the Rabbanu Shalom is referred to as the Melech. After Adam HaRishon was created, then you're supposed to study science, then you're supposed to study halacha, everything from that point on, you have to delve into. So the Gemara has a comment on that pasuk that we said. The third parak begins with that Mishnah that really doesn't have to do with Kiyah Shofar, because the whole Mishnah is based on that pasuk in Tilim. Tikva b'chayre shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. So it's a very difficult pasuk. Tikkur b'chodesh shofar, you should blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh, which every Rosh Chodesh should blow shofar, no, but ketzel yom chageinu, on that day we're in, when Rosh Chodesh is a yontif, no, there's only one Chanukah also falls on Rosh Chodesh, but that was after the days of David HaMelech, but that didn't exist. So there's only one Rosh Chodesh on the level of the writer, that's a yontif, that's Rosh Hashanah. So what does the word b'ketzel mean? The Pashup Shat means something else, but the Gemara says mechutzah, that there's something hidden, there's something hidden over here. So what's mechutzah, what's hidden? So some explain that all of the things from the Sheshes Mei Bereshis and before, the Gemara says there were things that were created before the Sheshes Mei Bereshis. There were seven things that were created before Sheshes Mei Bereshis. So all the things before and all the Sheshes Mei Bereshis, that's Takad Adin, that is supposed to be hidden, supposed to be Mechusav. So many, some suggest that that's included in this Pasuk, what the Chazal understood. Bakes Eliyam Chagenu, this is a Zachag that falls out on Rosh Chodesh, where we're supposed to be hiding certain inyanim. We're supposed to be mechas of certain inyanim. That's referring to all the inyanim, all the secrets of Brias Olam, with Kedem Brias Olam. And that's what the Mishnah says, that Ein Dorshim and Maisei Bereishis, you're not allowed to delve into Malafonim and Maliochim. That the din only is that Kved Malachim Chakor Dover, from Ayer Vavokei Yom Shvi, from that time on, by Chulu, then it's an Indian to delve into everything. And whatever came before, you're not allowed to learn. The Gemara in Daf Nun Dalet in Yuma. So the Gemara says, when the Aron with the Kruvim is Bimkomo, then everything is fine. It's like a relationship of Nisuin. And then you're allowed to look at each other. We're allowed to look at the Kruvim. There's nothing wrong. When they're moving in the Midbar and the Aron and Shalovim come, or when the Aron is in the basement during the period of Bai Sheni, and the Shalovim come, then it's like a Tchina Verisim. The Novi says, Eza Sefer Krisha Shalachti Liimchem. The Novi says, I didn't divorce you. You're still an anxious ish. But the Psukim seem to imply that you can go back and forth from Erisim to Nisun. It's in Halacha, we don't have such a thing. Once you reach Nisun, you remain Nisun, unless you give a get. And here, the way the Gemara understands the Psukim, the relationship between the Rabbanu Shalom and Esau can shift back and forth. Erisim Nisun, Erisim Nisun. So it's interesting. it's interesting. The Chazal understand that Matan Torah, Ma'amar Hatzinim, was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis. So some different Tanoim understood differently. Where was the Nisuin? When did the Nisuin occur? So some Tanoim say the Nisuin occurred when we made the Mishkan. Later, we made the Mishkan and we entered into the Mishkan. That was the Knisul of Rishus Abba. The Mishkan is Beis Hashem. When we walked into the Mishkan, that was the Nisuin. Another Tanoim hold Machlekes in Tanoim. Another Tanoim in the Medrash and the Gemara saying no, the Nisuin was when it was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis. The Baruch Shalom picked up the Har Sinai top. That was like a chuppah. So that was the Nisuin. That's in fact Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. It says Hashem is Sinai Bo. It says Hashem is Sinai Bo. Kechotzen Hayetzei Likvas Akalo. What do you mean? We don't have that practice. Most people, by the Sfarim, have. Most people don't have the practice. The Chosin doesn't go out to greet the Kala, because by us, they're just engaged and not even married. So there's not even Eristin. The Shiduchin, he's a Meshudach and she's a Meshudachas. But they're not even married. But the Rashi's talking, this man that they had Eristin a year before. They had Eristin half a year before. And then holding by completing the marriage to make it a Hakkos and Rishusoi, so then you have a Chos and Hayet and Likra Sakala, the Taka married. So he goes out and he greets his wife. So at Har Sinai, there already was apparently an Eristin from before, from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There already was a Geris before and a second Geris later. So there already was a Bchina of Eristin, and they were just making the Nisun. This was like if it's like the Hamtana, that you wait between Eristin and Nisun. You wait a year, you wait a half a year. See, they waited 7 weeks between the Eristin and the Nisun. So the Shechina came out to greet the Bnei Yisrael. But yes, well, we don't have the Eristin in advance. We just